Welcome to the Richards Rock Academy podcast. My name is Nate Richards, and I'm here with Colin Ainsworth. How you doing, Colin?
Another perfect day.
All right, today what we're going to do is a 2019 year in review and also a look ahead at 2020. We have a lot of great things coming up in 2020 that we're super excited about. Some big reorganization ideas for the studio, for the academy, for our rock band program and our lessons. We've got a lot of great, great things coming up. So first, we're just going to do a quick 2019 year in review. And we had a sort of a little bit of a slow start to 2019, but it really picked up towards the end there. But we did have some great events in the beginning of the year. We started off with our classical music recital, which we do every winter in usually January or February. This year it's February 9th, so look ahead to that. Anybody that plays piano, classical guitar, voice, violin or viola, any of those instruments where you can, you know, perform in a recital type setting, we'll have sign up sheets around the studio, and you know, just watch out for that and we can get you signed up. The performance is going to be at the Friends Meeting House. It's a very beautiful hardwood floor room with high ceilings with a baby grand piano on the Swarthmore College campus. So we're looking forward to that. We're doing that biannually. So we have one in February and then another one I think we scheduled for June or July. So check that out.
Yeah, and I'm looking for that Make It on a Villalobos for plectrum guitar. So I got something to prove. It's like a bad 80s action film or something, you know. This is Rocky III.
Right, yeah. Well, that was a pretty good performance last time. I don't know. I think you're being a little hard on yourself.
No, man, Mickey died and it's all my fault. I was a paper champion and I got something to prove.
All right, so we got the classical stuff. So, but that's always good because you remember that Richards Rock Academy started off, you know, just guitar lessons. And with the as far as our curriculum goes, we do model a lot of what we do on the Westchester University classical music curriculum. So we kind of took that template, I guess, and started to work it for all of the different instruments and different genres of music. So even though we do a lot of rock music, a lot of popular music, we still have a very solid foundation in classical music and also classical music theory. So, you know, just a little bit about our history there. So in March of this year, we had a great event at Barnaby's. It was our 10th anniversary. So we had an event there with a lot of our bands, and they actually weathered, you know, almost a blizzard or something. It was crazy. It was kind of dangerous driving out of there. So we were a little bit worried about people getting home, but also we were we felt very grateful that, you know, they would even drive out in that just to come to the 10th anniversary. So it was a great event. We got a chance to talk about the history of the studio, and that was the first time that we actually introduced that we would be changing the name of the studio at that 10th anniversary.
Yeah, it was definitely that Pee Wee Sports feel going over to Sandro's Trophies in Chester to get the plaques made up. And yeah, we need some really sweet plaques because we're doing the name change and this one event's going to be launch everything and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And then but you know what? It was under 12 months, so it got done. But
yeah, and I'm still working on like the legal side of things to make sure that, you know, we're either going to change it on the LLC or just do a DBA or something like that. So, I mean, officially I'm still doing, you know, the accounting and taxes, you know, Richards Guitar Studio. But, I mean, everything else, you know, the website is, you know, almost done, RichardsRockAcademy.com. The sign that's going up, all of our new marketing materials is going to have Richards Rock Academy, our new hoodies, Richards Rock Academy. So it's a process, you know. It's hard to do it overnight on a shoestring budget for sure.
But yeah, we got the landline on the hoodies, so it's legit. That's the gold standard for any legit business, getting the landline on the merch. So
yeah, finally my cell phone is off the The marketing materials, for sure.
And in case anyone was wondering and wanted to do a bunch of prank phone calls, yes, the previous number for the studio was, in fact, Nate's cell phone.
All right, so that was a great event. We gave out some plaques to some teachers and students who, you know, showed dedication over the last 7 to 10 years, and we heard some great music, and it was just a fun event. It was definitely a pick me up for me as well, because, you know, as I mentioned, you know, I don't want to harp on any negativity here, so I'm just gonna just mention that I had a little bit of a rough year last year. The 2018, 2019 school year. So that was a great event for me, because it was like, it kind of started to get my mojo back, you know, as far as studio matters, and really launched that next phase of the year, you know, to start moving things in the right direction as far as the rebrand.
That was just like a cool setup too, with the bands off to the side. As I kept going on during rehearsals, like, this is the old cool, like, old school nightclub setup where the stage isn't right there in front of everybody. Like, everybody's out to celebrate, and it's your job to provide some solid music for entertainment, but you're not, like, the visual focus of the room. So I thought that was a little bit of a nice training ground for all the bands at the time to, play in a physical setup like that. Little bit of a window into the past, into the golden age of nightclubs.
You know, it allowed them a little bit of time to set up and break down without being, you know, this awkward, weird, like, you know, they're on this big stage, like right in front of everybody, and like, okay, I'm done, I'm gonna unplug now, and walk off. So, but
hey, everybody, look, that kid's taking too long to plug the jack into his guitar or whatever. Let's all point and laugh at him.
All right, so in April, we had two of our classical piano teachers, Stephen and Rachel. Stephen unfortunately moved to another state to accept the job, so he's no longer with Richard Rock Academy, but Rachel Lee is, and she had an amazing senior recital at Westchester University, played Chopin, Schumann. I think she did some Rachmaninoff and Liszt. I mean, you know, like, some heavy hitters. I didn't go, unfortunately. I couldn't make it, but I know some of our students did, and they still remember that concert. You know, they were just blown away by you know, those classic piano pieces.
Yeah, because me and Chester Joe went out for that one, and I think some of our adult students whose kids take lessons with Rachel were also out, so it's just a good cross-generational student-instructor representation. And yeah, I just like to see when we get things like that too, where you could have that whole cross section of the studio come out, have some bonding, supporting somebody, and also hearing. Like, that's a great example of when I say, like, music's not a charity, when everything falls, oh man, you got to support the local scene, you got to support the bands. It's like, I use that time and energy to support actual charitable causes. Like, I want some entertainment or some artistic enlightenment or whatever it might be if I'm going out and devoting time or money to something. So that was definitely one of those where everything was just a 10. Yeah. Getting some great musical performances while being able to bring people from the studio together.
And unfortunately, we didn't get our camera there. I tried to get some video, and there were some, you know, pretty bad cell phone videos. So maybe if Rachel got it done by Westchester. In June of this year, we had our first show at the Hard Rock Cafe in Philly, which was the farewell show to Scarlet Crow and Solemnness, two of our bands at the studio that, I keep saying the studio, man, at the Academy. It's been almost 11 years, man, you know, saying one thing, and I got to change the name now in my mind here. So anyway, we said goodbye to those bands. They were great supporters of the studio and phenomenal, you know, just families and friends. And we still see them, you know, sometimes on Facebook, we interact with them. But Colin, I think I missed that show. So tell us about that one.
Yeah, that was an interesting lineup, because that was another, like, big cross section where we had the junior high bands, like with Scarlet Crow, and then we had Solemnness headlining. That was their EP release party. And I want to say that was also Unfortunately, we couldn't do that one as the farewell thing for Anthony Archer for that lineup of Hemispheres. And then some of the adult band couldn't make it out. So we did the combined John Family Band, where I think I was Cousin Cletus John or something for the... So that was another one that was, yeah, just like a cool, like, catch-as-catch-can. We really had everything out for that one, basically building up to Solemnus's record release, which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, with the, this podcast brought to you in part by Miller Brewing Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Please drink responsibly. I think that was the first actual record release for any of the Academy bands, correct?
Yeah, Pariodin had a recording done at the Academy by Eric Maitland, and they did release like a couple songs, and I can't remember if it was on just through us or if they did it through SoundCloud or whatever, but this was the first legit, like, they went to a separate recording studio. What was it, Milkbone?
I want to say they did. Yeah, Milk Boy. That sounds right.
And then they actually had the physical copies for sale. They released it all over, you know, different platforms online. So they did a great job of doing that. Owen Hartline was really integral in that part of, like, the press part of it. You know, he did a great job, leading up that.
Speaking of that, where I guess he was doing his arranging and all on the, that was when they did the alternative rock medley, and I was just really hoping they would just go full rock star, and while it was promoted as a record release thing, they would just choose to just go up there and do like a 45 minute 90s all rock medley and do nothing to actually promote the record that they were releasing. Just the most obnoxious, over the top, like 90s Britpop Oasis, just roll up in the Range Rover on the sidewalk. Yeah, that one came together pretty well. Did some solid ticket sales for the 4 hours. They got to do the record release. And unfortunately, in more old school responsible showbiz form, actually did some of the originals off the record. But, you know, they still got that giant medley in.
Cool. Yeah. So we're definitely going to do some more shows at the Hard Rock Cafe in Philadelphia. Coming up, we have some dates we're lining up for that. Our summer camp was very successful this year with the performance. You know, we have the kids come in for a whole week. We are looking to potentially kind of rework the format maybe a little bit, but and also maybe the location. Still working on that with I don't want to say, you know, too much and then not be able to deliver, but basically
Camp Crystal Lake. It's Camp Crystal Lake, isn't it?
No, I'm thinking maybe a change of location might work. But it is a great location. You know, we rent out the old Valley Point Church, where, you know, basically their offices are there now, and they have the old small sanctuary there, but they have a nice stage. So, we're looking ahead to that, and also to be able to implement the things that worked and maybe add some things that we think, might change it up a little bit and spice it up. So summer camp, look for, our releases of information about that. Another idea that we had was to utilize summer camp for our current bands as a, immersion training setup. So even if it isn't for the whole week, maybe even just for a few days, but some sort of immersion training with things like stage presence and also equipment setup and then technique drills and then song performance, songwriting, you know, different things like that. So we'll give you more information as that becomes solid. So two more things to highlight about the 2019 before we get into looking ahead to 2020, the first one of these was a very sad time for the studio. Our guitar teacher Sam Risen in October, tragically passed away. He had a lot of dedicated students who were very shook up by this news. You know, our teachers and staff were, you know, just very impacted by Sam's positivity, his musicianship, his personality. You come in smiling and laughing all the time. And I know people say that, you know, when somebody passes, but this is the actual truth. Like, he would come in, always got a huge smile on his face. And, you know, a yes guy, you know, he'd say, hey, let's try this. Oh yeah, sure. And with enthusiasm. So he's basically the ideal, you know, guitar teacher to come in and work with his students in a positive and passionate and way. And also on top of that, being such an incredible musician. I mean, he was touring all over the place, even overseas. He was playing with the Philly Pops. I mean, you know, he was a jazz musician. He was a rock musician. He knew his music theory inside and out. He was able to convey these things to his students in an engaging way where they would still keep their interest and also, you know, train up his students to be able to play and perform. You know, he taught some of the students that were in the summer camp, some of the students that are in our rock bands. And he just had a great run with us for a few years. And, you know, that was definitely a difficult time for all of us at the studio. So what we did was, the academy. So what we did was we had a, kind of a little get together in his honor. And, you know, we collected some letters that students wanted to send to his parents. But because they're not local to Pennsylvania. So, but it was just, such a tragic and sudden thing. And, the impact of somebody who is a musical mentor is there's like this underlying thing. I mean, you know, there are coaches, you know, who are mentors through sports. There are, you know, pastors who are mentors through spirituality. There's, you know, there's teachers in school who are mentors through public education. There's something about music, since it's such an emotional and vulnerable thing that touches people's hearts so deeply, that when you have a mentor with music, it's such a personal thing and it's such a deep personal connection that you have, even, you know, over time, as you connect more with that person on a personal level and a musical level, it's just this binding glue that really, you know, builds these very strong, intimate relationships. So when you lose a musical mentor like that, especially somebody like Sam, who was so positive and caring about his students, and just this wizard guitar player, wizard musician, you know, it definitely took a big toll on everybody at the studio, and we miss him a lot. You know, we can't say enough about Sam, you know, and if any of his friends or family or musical partners are listening to this, you know, we just want everybody to know that he was definitely a huge influence on a lot of our students and a great mentor to his people, you know, whether they were teenagers or adults. You know, we fielded some phone calls from adult students who were, you know, in tears, and you know, teenage students who, when we saw them at the get together, they, you know, were just distraught. It was a very emotionally tough thing to get through those few weeks initially, just to let everybody try to deal with it in their own way, you know. And I'm sure as people go through their lives listening to music and playing music, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, you know, listening to a classic song or playing a song on the guitar, like, you know, I learned this from Sam, you know, 30 years ago, or, you know, telling their kids about a song they learned from their favorite teacher, you know, when they're to their grandkids or something, you know. So I know that seems a little bit dramatic to say it like that, but actually that's the truth. Like, you know, I still I'll show my, if I'm playing a song with my son Jack or something, I remember if my teacher told me that or showed me that song, and I remember who it was and where I was, you know. You know, music just brings people together, and it was just a really tough time. So definitely we miss Sam, and we hope, you know, we hope his family is doing okay, and we'll definitely won't forget him at Richards Rock Academy.
And that was, I guess, was it Christmas night into December 26th? Things I've been plowing through the year in review for the day jobs. That's why I'm so hyped up, drinking a ton of coffee in year in review mode. But the, I think I like fell asleep on the couch and then like early morning hours, got up, went up to bed, and must have gone like into the deep heart, or, you know, like the really hardcore REM stage, and just was having this vivid recurring dream where like a few years after you die, you get an hour to come back for Q&A, and it was like, you know, 4 years and 2 months since my teacher's passing. It was like I had that final hour with him again, you know, and then in some weird thing where their studio space was about 10 times the actual square footage, and then it was going to be back for rental again. So I was like desperately trying to negotiate to get it for, I can't say RGS anymore, RRA, and, you know, to try to do right by them. But yeah, it's that, you know, years later, that's still a pretty frequent, you know, recurring dream where I'm still there with some of the guys who have mentored me that have passed on. So I'm sure, you know, maybe if we could do something to, since Sam was a Westchester County, New York guy, old school Americana suburbs, unfortunately, we couldn't connect on a... I was trying to broker for one of the Chester Township Jazz Festivals to get him and James out. So if that opportunity comes up with the Township Council over there again, you know, if we could get, that might be a nice continuing thing to get some of our neighboring municipalities jazz fests.
Okay, so moving ahead to the final large event that we had for 2019 was the show that we had this past weekend, December 21st, at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. It was a stressful planning event and kind of, you know, getting to the show with, you know, bringing out enough audience for it, you know, the venue to warrant us play. But it turned out to be a great event. It turned out to really work well. You know, we had an opportunity to play in a venue that is very large and houses, you know, some national acts and things like that. So without going into all the details, because we want to get to the year 2020 and what's ahead. It was just a phenomenal experience, and I was extremely blown away by some of the performances. Like, those kids stepped up big time. That it was awesome. Like all of the performance, every song, there wasn't like, you know, sometimes there's a show and it's like, oh, it was great, but there's that like that one song. And so what happened with that one song? Every song was good. I can't remember a song where I was like cringing, you know what I mean? Like, oh crap. Like we didn't prepare the bridge on that. We didn't prepare the vocals on that part, or we didn't work on that transition or something. I thought every song went extremely smoothly. I was so proud of all the students. It was amazing. Yeah.
And that was, also, I guess on the cold hearted biz end of things where, you know, like I was saying, I'm trying to do right by some of my mentors where, I think later some of the feedback, you know, I had heard, and some of the venue management, you know, was pretty impressed with us pulling things back on schedule, as I guess there was some of the usual shenanigans of things running in rock and roll time, and then things got even kind of late for rock and roll time. So it was, yeah, I know we were really trying to get we were really trying to get Hemispheres that like encore time, you know, but then the other band stepped up, kept things ahead of schedule to try to help out Hemispheres. Then when they had to forego that to get the whole of the concert back on schedule, you know, they didn't complain. And not only that, then they helped, like you and me, haul all the gear off for the next band, which in turn cut another 5 minutes on changeover time. And
yeah,
so it was so that's what I always say about, you know, respecting the biz. And then funny enough, when venue management actually recognizes that you know, when some people come in ready to work and go up there and get the job done and not, you know, hey, I'm a cool rock and roller, I don't need to play by the rules, you know, with the whole.
Yeah, I mean, everybody got their set time. Everybody got the time that were allotted initially, so that it worked. It was a great experience. I had a stomach virus the day before, and I can't even believe I made it, dude. It was like a miracle. You know, I had, you know, I was just like burning fat at that point, you know, like, or my muscles, like from my muscle tissues or whatever. But
do I really need this tendon, or could I burn it for energy? Burn it for energy, okay.
So, yeah, no food, but it was great. And we got a lot of help from Joe D and his friend with photography. So I'm going to have to sift through all those videos and photos and, you know, post some things up. So, okay, on to 2020. So here we go. So the first thing that we want to talk about is we're reorganizing and restructuring some of the things about our rock band program we're really excited about. The first thing is an album series, and we have two bands already started on this, and we have plans for a few other sets of bands. So basically we're going to have two or three bands all scheduled for rehearsals at the same time, utilizing our different band rooms. And one week will be their regular band practice, and then the next week will be a mix-up where we have all the kids in one giant group sharing the load for covering an entire album. And then we're going to do a big showcase where we have an album, you know, full-on album front-to-back performance from each group. So the planning is going really well. We have some different online platforms that we're utilizing to make sure that all of the students' projects and different instruments, because we're hoping any multi-instrumentalists will you know, sing for one song and then play bass for another song and then guitar on another song or whatever, and we'll kind of keep mixing it up as much as we can, and everybody all have assignments, and you know, all the students will share the burden in order to cover an entire album and then perform it at a showcase. So this is a huge thing that we're doing. And it's great because all of the information for the songs are going to be shared with everybody's teacher, and utilizing this platform we're going to use. So communications are much more organized now within the Rock Academy, from the students to the band directors to their private teachers to the curriculum, you know, director, which I guess is me at this point, overseeing all of the bands and all the projects that they're working on. So that's going to be a great addition to this year with our rock band program for sure.
I'm just realizing how, yeah, with some of the deep cuts, it would have to be all transcribed by ear by the bands. And that's when things take a really nerdy academic turn for the worse. The popcorn machine goes flying because of a fist fight breaks out. Whether the guitar's playing an inverted power chord, the root's not on the bottom, that's being implied by the bass with the
yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, and I think the students are really excited about it, which is great. But the cool thing about it is that it steps it up another level for them. It's like, okay, well, you've done some great shows, you've done some great cover songs, you know, you've written some songs. Now, how well can you pull this off? You know what I mean? Like, let's step it up another level and be like, yeah, all right, you know, here we go. The bar is raised yet again, and let's do it. So,
yeah, maybe I'm just having the traumatic thoughts. Yeah, flashbacks to high school where things like that would happen when we'd overreach our bounds. But now it's hitting me that all those wacky, far out ideas that you had with bands in high school you never thought could actually come to fruition. Now the program is actually implementing it.
And it's going to be more, since we're the communications are more streamlined between all the teachers. It doesn't matter who you are, what instrument you teach, you can find out anything about all this, what all the students are working on now, which is great. So it's not like they can do, you know, play mom against dad, you know, where dad didn't know that mom said something or the other way around. So it's going to be like, well, you know, we're going to keep them accountable, which is cool. So like, I'll know, okay, that let's say somebody's working on a bass line and then they'll go into practice. And let's say you're there that time for practice and you'll see it on there. You'll be like, hey, did you learn that bass line? Then they'll go to their private teacher and they're like, all right, first thing we're doing is we're learning this bass line. So like, no matter where they go, they're going to be held accountable. So there's no slipping through the cracks now. And also, that's the way it should be. You know, that's the way we should be doing our job over there. So,
yeah, and then that's what I thought too. Yeah, if you have that line of communication between private instructors and band directors, even if some stuff that's going on in private lessons, if it gets noted in there, if that could spark some imagination for, you know, something that the band could then tackle. Because every now and then with some rehearsals where people are, yeah, possibly at a loss for ideas, and I'm like, there's got to be something cool somebody's doing in their private lessons that could, you know, you could kind of leapfrog into a band endeavor off of. But it's no more excuses, no more hiding now. It's all out in the open.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. The next thing up on the docket is makeup lesson solutions. So basically what we're doing with this, and this might take a few months to get this done and make sure that this restructuring is communicated to every student, every parent, every teacher. And basically making better solutions for the whole makeup lesson process. The number one reason why we want to do this is that we love our teachers. And our teachers can't offer the 1,000% great service that we know that they can if they're constantly running around with their hair on fire, you know, because of, you know, makeup lesson policies not being followed, especially by me, you know, when things come in and we slack on it or something like that. So what we're doing is we have several great ideas for making this easier on the parents and on the teachers. And also making sure that the students have their lessons completed, you know. So be looking out for that. We're really excited about this. And we actually think that part of this makeup lesson solution, there's one part that these challenge videos idea that, you know, a friend of mine from Los Rios Rock School came up with, which is a great idea. We think it's going to not only help with the makeup lesson solution, but also improve the regular lessons. And I've been testing this on my private students, you know, the little guinea pigs, and it's awesome, dude. It has kind of supercharged the lessons and getting them forward faster. Again, we're not trying to rush anything, but to be more effective and more efficient and more productive. So all of that, just watch out for that. It's coming up pretty soon once we get it all written out.
Yeah, and I think with some of these, you know, supplementing the written lessons or, you know, standard lessons, whatever, where, kind of keeping that old school mentality with the new technology. Because, like, one thing I'd always remind people, you know, like, I'm in news by day, so my phone's always on. Like, if you got a question about a lesson, just call me. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, just call during the week if you need anything.
Yeah, but that, you know, as we utilize Teacher Zone more, that's what that's going to replace.
Yeah, and that's where I think people were sometimes, like, it was one of those, like, weird community college professor kind of things where I know all of you were working and maybe doing your homework at 2 a.m. in between jobs and taking care of your kids, but please feel free to call my landline or, you know, whatever back then. Just feel free to call my house phone. My wife won't be angry at me for that long when you interrupt us in the middle, you know. Like,
yeah, well, the Teacher's Own message is also going to ensure that all the communications can be seen by the administrators at the academy, and also be tracked and all that kind of thing. So everything going through there, and I, you know, I understand that sometimes the user interface is not as great as just a text message, but honestly, if it's in there with all of the other stuff, with the chat videos coming back and forth for the lessons, with the practice assignments, with the scheduling, with the, you know, their calendar on there, with their band chat, with their band assignments, everything on there, the more that you use it, you know, the more you get used to it, and the better it is. And it's just better for everybody. It's better for me too. Like I would prefer that nobody, and that's going to be part of the new roles and responsibilities, that nobody is using their personal cell phone for any sort of type of scheduling or anything. We've run into some major problems with that because there's nothing that an administrator or an office staff can help with a customer service issue if we have no record of any of it. You know what I mean?
So, turn over your phone records now. We will be subpoenaing you on it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like all the teachers, I need every screenshot, you know, emailed to us, and we need to paste it into teacher's own or something. All right. So in addition to all that, and probably another offering for Makeup Solutions, but I'm not totally sure yet, but we have more social opportunities coming up. And we've already started these, which is Friday, Free Play Friday, Saturday Jam Days, and Sunday Fun Days. And basically, those are different days for different types of students, whether they're adults or just a general population student or a Rock Band Academy student. So different offerings for more time at the studio to socialize and to play music. So again, you know, as we schedule those, we'll send those out. And also open mic night. So we do have an open mic night coming up January 24th at the studio. You'll see at the Academy. Dude, I can't do it.
But see, we can't totally get rid of studio because studio has D.O. in it, and I refuse to still accept that D.O.'s gone, so I can't accept that studio.
All right, the Academy. You're going to see some sign-up sheets for this open mic. The last one was great. We had it in December. I think we had 6 people play, maybe 7. It was great. I think it's just something that has to evolve over time, you know, from like a recital feel to it, more formalized, like everybody has to be very quiet, just to be something like maybe we just need to put the performer at a different spot, you know, and play around with that, but just to keep it very informal. But it was great. We had some great performances, and we're looking forward to those. So keep an eye out for that. Also, the Rock Guitar Mastery Program, the next graduation is February 8th, I think. It's in February. So if you're a guitar student and you're looking to take your test to graduate out to the next level, if you're in intro level or level 1, you'll also see some signs and sign-up sheets for that. Also, in addition to that, we already mentioned our classical recital on February 9th for sign-up sheets. You'll see those around. And the continued facilities upgrade, we're probably going to be painting the back unit number 1. When you go into the back hallway, the first unit you see, that's going to be the orange room. And we've already done the red room, which is the band hangout room. That's awesome. It's great. And I did try the popcorn machine. It's a cheap popcorn machine, and I kind of like didn't trust it, so I stopped it too early. I think I need to let it go and just let it do its thing. So we'll try the popcorn machine again. And if it doesn't work, I'm gonna send it back and get another one. So either way, we will have popcorn. But the record player thing is phenomenal. We chill out in there, and you know, with students or parents, we listen to music, and it's such a great addition. So the red room is done. The next one is going to be the orange room. After that, we're going to do the I think the blue room, which is going to be the band lab, and then finally the purple room, which is the violin and voice room. So
with the foosball table.
Yes, with the foosball table.
We need to get some tourneys going. No spinning. Real actual play.
And we just have to fix that one little thing that I broke on the end of it.
That adds character.
Yeah. So with the foosball table, again, more you know, just things for people to do as they're hanging out at the studio. At the Academy, website upgrade going to be done, and then the street sign. I know people don't really care about the street sign, but I do. It's pretty cool. We're going to hopefully within a month or two have that new one up there. Okay, last thing is the student of the month. So the student of the month this month is going to be Lisa Travis. Lisa is a private student of Joe LaMara, and she is the front woman and guitar player for the band Scala, who did a phenomenal set at 2300 Arena. She blew my mind. Like, she came out and just started singing Led Zeppelin and playing Led Zeppelin at the same time. And I'm like, dude, this girl hasn't even been doing it that long. And all of a sudden, and then her personality with communicating with the audience and speaking to the audience and with enthusiasm and just charisma. And she was very, what's the word, when you speak well?
So begin with an E.
Yeah.
Eloquent.
Yeah.
Or I was going to say like elocution, but there's an adjective for that as well. What the?
She doesn't have a rocky voice like I do. Like, hey, yo, yo. So anyway, she did it in a great job. And she also sang and played at the open mic night in December. And she sang Fleetwood Mac. And it was amazing. It was amazing. So Lisa, we're going to have your picture up in the back or where the coffee area is. We have a wall going of student of the month, and we're gonna put her up next. So congratulations, Lisa. We are super happy to have you, and you continue to impress us with everything you're doing in your band. So hats off, and looking forward to seeing how Scala steps up to the plate with the album series and all of the different talents that you have for singing and playing, playing an instrument, and where we can make those different assignments for you, and see, you know, how well you flourish with those in the coming months. Colin, anything left for this podcast?
Yeah, with that. So then also, we got our congratulatory bowling and pizza night coming up with Scala and Last Hope, bringing out the That's numbers right. for ticket sales.
Yeah, it's ironic that Scala and Last Hope are the two bands that were first assigned to the album project. So they're all in a big group now, and they tied with their ticket sales for 2300. So they won the pizza and bowling night, which we're going to have to get schedule within the next few weeks. But that should be a fun evening. Anything else?
I was just thinking, I just gotten as like petty as possible and just reverted back to a 14-year-old mind state. The other day I was thinking like, wait, I sold some tickets and then I got up and played with Last Hope. So if I wanted to just be the tiebreaker and be a complete jerk, and just, since I didn't count my sales. We need to reconsider the policy of instructors getting up and backing up the bands, because unfortunately it's mentally regressing them. No, I sold tickets and I played with them. I want bowling.
Or you have some sort of underhanded cash like exchange program with the students.
Yeah, it's like back in high school and we had to do the hustle tickets to be able to play like in the top floor at the TLA or something. I just completely revert back to it. 14-year-old frame of mind.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap this up. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we are really looking forward to 2020. This is going to be a phenomenal year for Richards Rock Academy. Stay with us. Keep an eye out for all the things that we're doing. The music training and music performances are only going to get better, and we will see you at Richards Rock Academy this month.